I say to you again, grace and shalom to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's scripture is the parable of the sower, specifically out of Mark chapter 4, if you want to turn there. It's also found in Matthew and in Luke. We chose the Mark one for today. To me, it's an extremely helpful scripture, and here's why. Lisa and I had the chance to be in Columbus for 15 years. As we pastored Columbus Evangelical Church, we had the amazing opportunity in 15 years to see 750 people saved in Christ. That's an average of one per week, every week for 15 years. Thank you, Lord. But I would be lying if I told you all 750 people are following him today. And it bothered me to the point of shaking me to my core. And then I read today's scriptures. Now, you've heard these scriptures before, and so did I. But for some reason, the Lord helped me realize what was going on in individual hearts and lives. After we read today's scripture, you're going to ask yourself the question, which soil am I? And then you're also going to think in your mind about certain people that fit categories of soils in your life. It might be a loved one, it might be a neighbor, it might be a coworker, but you're going to be able to understand what the Lord is saying to you about where they're at spiritually as they walk with him. So let's hear the first part of the scripture today as Lisa reads Mark chapter 4, verses 4 to 8.
Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear."
Around the world, but specifically in America today, that is from the pit of hell. They call it the deconversion movement. It's a destruction of people's faith, a deconstruction and a deconversion. Has anybody in here heard of that? All right. When I worked at Rocky Mountain College, I was just bothered by a certain religion professor that on the first day of religion class, he would announce to the class, "I want any Christians who are in this class to stand up." And they would stand up and identify themselves. And that religious professor would then spend the entire semester breaking them down, picking on them, making fun of them. He would ask them questions about what they believed. And when they shared what they believed, he would simply try and bust it apart. Deconversion, deconstruction. Did you know that when surveys are shared in America today of people's religious beliefs, the category that is the largest are the religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Not nuns, you know, Sister Mary, Mother Martha, okay? The religious nuns. And I've been thinking about that. And then I think about today's scripture. Now this, what they call apostasy, which is a total rejection of faith once held. Know anybody like that in your life? Yeah, unfortunately, I do. A total rejection of faith once held. It's more than a doubt. Because by the way, folks, doubt is not sinful. Just don't park yourself there. Thomas was the doubter, right? Did Jesus throw him out? No, he didn't. This deconversion is more than someone going through a spiritual crisis. Did you know it's normal to go through a crisis when you lose a loved one or have a broken relationship? When your finances fall apart, it's normal to have a spiritual crisis. And we don't cure normal. We just work in the truth. I hear of a lead singer in America, a guitarist in his famous band, who turns his back on Jesus. A head pastor of a very large congregation in America walks away and says he didn't believe any of it. A best-selling Christian author renunciates his faith. Maybe one closer to home? High schoolers entering college seem to walk away from their faith. Now, I'm sick and tired of hearing that. Yes, it happens. But I like the fact that when high schoolers go to college, they have to own their own faith. They don't get to rely on the faith of their parents and their forefathers. They have to walk in faith on their own. And the studies don't show how many of those actually circle back like boomerangs back to the faith of their family. I look into scripture and I find out there's a word for what occurs in this case. It's the word called falling. Actually, it's two words. I'm sorry. Two words. Falling away. That's the literal interpretation, is falling away. The first example in scripture of falling away are the fallen angels. Okay? And it was permanent. I read about a guy named Demas who walked away from the faith. A guy named Alexander. Even the book of Jude warns of such people who will fall away. I'm amazed that even Jesus had people, when he gave difficult teaching, who fell away and turned their back and went away. At one point, it's the disciples and Jesus who are left. You know, and then Jesus has a conversation with his disciples, and I'm sure it was Peter who said, "Where else are we going to go? You are the answer." And we still believe. And Jesus, I think, affirmed him at that point in time, "On this rock I will build my church." What are some of the reasons why people fall away? Today's scripture will explain. But I think deeper ones also occur. Depression, abuse, pain. People who took church like a social club. I mean, we do have good snacks. Others who are Gnostics. That's a problem in the Bible all throughout the New Testament. People who are only interested in Christ for knowledge's sake. The longest 12 inches on planet Earth is the distance between your brain and your heart. It involves both of them in faith. It's not just knowledge. Because in the age of an enlightenment, people all of a sudden get a new piece of knowledge and follow it the wrong direction. I do also have to admit that there's such a thing as false conversion. Now, I don't know who's been saved. Nor do you. I'm looking for fruit in people's life. And I do think there are indications of a life transformed. I'm not going to argue today about once saved, always saved. Because I will add the phrase, if saved. And I don't know. Are prodigal children will bust us apart as we try and figure out what's going on. Where did this happen? How, Lord? And today's scripture says what we have to do. So you know your parables, right? Earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Jesus had to talk down to the people at their level. Not talk down to them. I don't mean down to them. I mean, he went down to them and talked like they talk and talked in ways that they could understand. He didn't talk over their heads. He shared from the heart and he made it so simple. And then he said, I hide things from the learned. The wise people who think they got it all figured out. No, I go reveal these things to the little kids. The people who have childlike faith, like Special K residents. And he shares today's parable, and it's one of the examples where he actually explains the parable. And this helps me a ton. Lisa, would you read Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 13?
Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. But when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown."
I challenge you again, which category are you? And which category do people in your life fall into? Not that we're judged, but we're trying to figure this thing out. Do you know what the church's number one job is? It's not entertainment. The church's number one job is to scatter more seed, the word of God. Right? We're supposed to scatter the word of God. That's why during our time of testimony, which we will do again next week, we just share God's word and what he's doing, talking to us about through his word. The farmer sows the word. We're never done sowing the word. When we sow the word, scripture says it will not return null and void. Even when it looks like he's not working, he's always working. And so keep scattering the seed. Parents, scatter the seed in your home. When your kids are stuffing their face, putting food in the old pie hole, share the word of God. You got a captive audience. Okay? Before they go to bed, they're like little sponges. Share the word of God. Even when you don't think they're listening. And they desperately need the word. So keep sowing the word. Put your hand up, please. Thumb. We're going to count the way you've never counted before. Number one is your thumb. Okay? Which soil is this one? What does scripture say? The path. Okay? The second one. The rocks. The third one. Weeds, okay, and thorns. The fourth one, the good soil, okay? The path, point to your own fingers. You have to interrogate. I'm a teacher. You've got to interact with the scripture, okay? The path, the rocks, thorns and weeds, good soil. Okay, you may put your finger down. I don't know what we do with that little piggy down there, the last one. Yeah. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. The word of God is shared with them. This part bothers me. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Bothers me. You go, how does Satan have that authority? Well, he only has authority of which God grants him. And for some reason, God allows Satan to stand at the back doors of the church with a giant eraser. And as soon as people hit the doors, it's gone. I lose sleep over that one. Am I supposed to give up, though? Keep scattering the word. At some point, when we don't understand, he will use that word in a different way, in a more powerful way. And Satan somehow gets the authority for a little while. I don't believe those people are saved. Let me just be clear. Okay? They heard the word. It got erased. They went on with life. The second category, though. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. I love that. I love it. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. Then when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. These are people in my life who have said to me, I tried Jesus and he didn't work for me. Because evidently they had an expectation that after they accepted Christ, everything in their life was going to be smooth sailing. You know, glassy seas. No wind, no storms, no lightning, no hail, no locusts, no drought. Just simple, easy life. And I have to admit to you, when I became a Christian, I somewhat thought the same thing. That life was going to be easy after becoming a Christian. But then scripture says, in this world, you will have trouble. So the trouble comes, right? Persecution, famine, hardship, all those kinds of things. And because they had no root, they didn't put their root down. And evidently, people didn't help them put their root down. I want to tell you today that grace is free. It costs us nothing. We are saved by grace, the free gift of God. And we can't earn our salvation. But I will tell you today that discipleship, putting your roots down in Jesus Christ, should cost you everything. Grace costs you nothing. Discipleship costs you everything. You have to think differently, walk differently, talk differently. You have different friends. You spend differently. Because you're a new creation. And he's helping you put roots down and to put your trust and faith in him. I'm telling you, you are saved by grace through faith. And there's this amazing interaction. When at some point in time, his grace somehow meets your faith. For me, it was a junior in high school in the locker room of my high school gymnasium. I remember the exact instant when I accepted and received his free gift of grace. At the end of the service today, we're going to give an opportunity for anybody here who has not believed and received to do so. We cannot go through this scripture without giving an opportunity for somebody to believe in him and to receive his free gift of grace. But I will warn you that that's not the end of the journey. Okay? That you have to put down your roots. You need to be in his word. You need to be in prayer. You need to be with his people. You need to think on him, dwell on him, meditate about him. follow after him. Did you know what the word believe means? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Surrender to, trust in, rely on, cling to, and follow. Put your roots down in him. And we try and help our kids do the same. And I know it's a challenge. But that trouble and persecution is going to come, and they're going to need it. And they're going to have to know why they believe what they believe. The third soil. Still others, like seed grown among thorns. Oh, by the way, group number two. The rocks. Well, I'm going to offend some people when I say this. I don't know if they were saved. They received God's word with great joy. I want to believe they were all saved. But they quickly fell away. So I mean, that's between them and God. Maybe they were saved. The third group. Still others, seed sown among the thorns, hear the word. And I do think, again, they receive it well. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. By the way, I think this category is saved. But they're unfruitful. I think they're the largest category of any of the four. Worry gets in the way. Deceitfulness of the wealth of this world. Boy, that's easy in America. The desires for other things. A new flavor of the month comes along. Somehow it chokes the word. It's still there. It just doesn't produce any fruit. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but this is tough, isn't it? Is this tough teaching? Jesus shares these words, and it, again, as a pastor, it's helped me so much. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Did you know that? Just like parking yourself in your garage does not make you a car. Okay. We're looking for fruit. It's what he says will be an outward sign of an inward change. The fourth category, others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. I'm from inner city Denver. I don't understand crops. So I went to Rappelje and I asked some farmers, you got to explain this scripture to me. What does it mean to yield 30, 60, 100 times what was sown? We're talking Rappelje, Montana, okay? Rappelje, Montana farmers said, well, that's easy. Great. Tell this city slicker what that means. They said, okay, the rain. That's God's part. Not a thing we can do about it. Oh, we can complain, we can whine, we can ask for it, that's good. But you will yield a really good crop if God brings down the rain at the right time and the right amount. Am I right? Okay, that's good. I said, that's God's part. They said, yeah, you know what your part is? I said, uh-oh. They said, fertilizer. You got to fertilize whatever you planted. If you want it to yield above and beyond, it takes fertilizer. I said, what do you mean? They said, that's your part. Rain is God's part. Fertilizer is your part. How do you expect to grow in Christ and yield a good crop if you're not in his word? How do you expect him to work mightily and work through you if you're not talking to him? And by the way, prayer involves listening, which I find to be the most difficult part of prayer. Usually I just want to flap incessantly, lay my lists out there and move on. The hard part is to talk to him and try and listen to him. But when you listen, obviously it's going to yield a higher crop. Be with his people. Memorize his word. Serve him. Well, that's how you fertilize. You actually serve others through the name of Jesus. And I said to the Rapple J farmers, that all sounds good. They said, wait a minute, you're not done. I said, come on. They said, do you know in all this produce a fruit that yields all that fold? You know, you're missing one main ingredient. And I said, what's that? Pruning. Uh-oh. Pruning. Yeah, you got to take out those things that aren't producing. You got to work with the ones that are connected to the vine that are really producing. It's painful to go through the pruning, but he wants to yield a crop 100 times what was sown. And so you go through the process of getting pruned so that he can work through you in even mightier ways. I found that pruning comes through parenting. Because before how I had kids, I thought I knew everything. After I had kids, I found out I didn't know nothing. Kids start to grow up about 18 years old. They think they know everything. And then they get to be pruned as well. I find that pruning happens when things aren't going well. But after we come out of the pruning, we can produce a crop that yields some 60, some 30, some 100 times what was sown. You have anybody in your mind for the categories? What's your responsibility? Keep scattering the word. Never giving up praying for them. Bringing them to the throne of God by name. And pray that he would continue to work mightily and bring them unto him for true salvation. And so I would ask you to bow your heads if you would. We're going to start out this prayer time simply by you praying for the unsaved in your life. Quietly between you and God. Lift up by name the unsaved in your sphere. And all God's people said. And so now I ask, is there anyone here today who wants to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept his free gift of grace? He wants to save you. He wants you to believe in him. And you are one? Are you wanting to believe? Would you come here, please? I will not embarrass you. But this is important. And I think sometimes we ask people just to raise their hand and we move on around them. And I want to know, you want to believe in Jesus today?
Mm-hmm.
You put your trust in him?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to follow him?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody go to your knees right now, to your knees. Is there anybody else that wants to join him today and put their faith in Jesus? Come here, sweetie. Anybody else? You want to believe in him today?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, the words we're going to pray aren't magic. This is just you talking to God. Would you say after me, Dear Jesus?
Dear Jesus,
I put my faith in you.
I put my faith in you.
Please forgive me of my sins.
Please forgive me of my sins.
And help me, Jesus.
And help me, Jesus.
To follow you.
To follow you.
Anything else you want to say to him?
No.
How about I need you? Say, I need you, Jesus.
I need you, Jesus.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
Say amen.
Amen.
Squeeze me. Yeah, I'm proud of you too. That took courage. Didn't that take courage? Yeah. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean life is easy. Okay? Mm-hmm. It means you're going to walk with him, and that's going to make all the difference. Do you each have a Bible?
No.
Nope.
Nicholas, we have any Bibles in this place? Oh, yeah. Hey? So Nicholas is going to show you in that Bible where to start reading, and I want you to be like a sponge and read his word. Okay?
Okay.
That is amazing. Amazing what God has done here today.
Yes.
Hey, I'm proud of you too. You may be seated. Yes. And be open to get baptized. How about that, Nicholas? That'd be cool. Hey, baptism doesn't save you. It is a public declaration of the faith that you have done, and it's really important. There's something about baptism that cements your walk with him. So please, you see that guy in the back there, you two? You see that guy, in the good-looking guy? You talk to him about maybe being baptized, okay? It'd be wonderful. Was this day worth it?
Yeah.
Let's stand. Let's thank the Lord, okay? It's wonderful. You keep praying for those lost ones in your life by name.